If you have a Bible this morning, and I hope you do, find the book of John. And we're going to be in chapter number 15. John chapter 15. This morning is the third week and actually the final week of a message series we've simply titled The Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God sounds like a lame title, but very simply, the kingdom of God was something that Jesus talked about constantly, almost more than anything else. It was why he came. It's the good news that he came to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. And if you missed the past couple weeks, let me like give you the 30-second review so that we're all kind of on the same page. The kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will. That's a theological way to say it. A simpler way, it's like, it's where God's will is happening. Where God's will is, where what God wants to happen happens. But from the very beginning of creation, God created you and he created me and he created humanity in the image of God. And in doing so, he really kind of created free will in you and in I, the ability for us to choose. And the Bible talks about this often and it refers to this contrast of kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God where God's will is playing out, and we have the kingdom of the earth. And the problem is the kingdom of the earth is all junked up by sin. Which is why you and I experience pain, suffering, hunger, sickness, all of these types of things that we see in our world really is the result of God's will not being effective here on earth. The kingdom of earth and our will and our ability to choose has junked that up, okay? And so that's kind of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And so Jesus comes into the kingdom of the earth, a kingdom messed up by sin, pain, hurt, divorce, death, hunger, sickness, the list goes on. And Jesus' message, like his good news, was that the kingdom of God is now here. Very literally, in that Jesus physically came. When Jesus was physically here, people saw the kingdom of God come to earth in the way that he received people and loved people and blessed little children and told the truth. And he would go out talking and saying, this, you know, this is what life in the kingdom of God is like. But Jesus leaves earth, and in a way, part number two of this plan of the kingdom of God begins to be unveiled. And this is really what we've been talking about last week, especially. The coming of the kingdom of God to earth begins with the transformation of human beings. As people are transformed to be more and more like Jesus, the kingdom of God comes down. God's will begins to happen in and through these transformed people. All right, I hope that makes sense. Last week, we looked at a book of the Bible called Romans chapter 12, a powerful passage of scripture. We don't have time to talk through that again, but watch that message. We talked, it really was on how God transforms us as people through our mind, our body, and our will. Fantastic, powerful thing for me as I grabbed a hold of that last week. And so watch that online if you missed that week. And that brings us to today. And I want us to start by reading a passage of scripture together. And so please stand with me all over this place. And let's read from the book of John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. And so you can follow along on the screen behind me or in a Bible if you have one. And so here's what it says. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. It says this. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. Say, much fruit. There we go. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, say much fruit. Yeah. You are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Let's pray. God, I pray right now that as we open up your word, as we look at this and the words of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that something special would happen, that something would rise up in each one of us. And God, that we would truly walk out these doors different, God, in the way that we think, in the way that we act, in the way that we live and move in this world. And so, God, we give this to you today. Use me, help me right now. I need that, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, elbow somebody nice and hard and have a seat. That's good. So this spring, we planted two apple trees in our yard. Come on, anybody have apple trees in their yard? Anyone like have bazillions of apples and you don't even know what to do with them and they fall over the ground and it kind of gets annoying? Anybody? Okay, yes, apple trees. My wife is super excited to someday be able to walk into our backyard and pick apples. That's like a dream of ours. I am excited for one day to get more apple pie and awesomeness like that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes, okay, amen. Of course, the trees that we planted, not very big, little things. It'll be a few years before we get very many, though this year we were surprised with two trees. One tree, like all of a sudden, like seven apples showed up, and we're like, wow, we just planted that thing. It was awesome. The other one gave us a big fat goose egg, like not really a goose egg. That's like, that means zero if you're not into the, okay? It gave us zero apples is what I meant by that. But a few moments ago, we read a passage of scripture where Jesus, he uses the illustration of fruit to talk about the kingdom of God. Now you have probably heard the phrase, the fruit of my labor, before. It simply means like, I now get to enjoy the result of my hard work, the fruit of my labor. And this plays out in all sorts of areas in our lives, from physical work, like I worked super hard at building a house and now I get to live in this new house. It plays out in education. I worked hard, graduated college, I now have a degree, or even simpler, like I studied really hard for that test and now I got a good grade. It plays out in our hobbies. I spent hours in a deer stand and now I shot a trophy buck, you know, and we're like, the fruit of my labor. It plays out in our families. I prioritize certain things with my children, and now they are growing up, and I'm seeing these things play out in their lives. And of course, in our careers and in our jobs, I worked hard. I put in the time. I earned money, or I got a promotion or a pay raise, like moved up on in the ladder. I now am experiencing the fruit of my labor. I'm seeing the results of the hard work that I have put in. We planted apple trees. The fruit of our labor there is like literal fruit, okay? The fruit of our labor will be when we can eat the fruit from our tree. In a way, fruit equals success. You could kind of say it that way. Like the fruit is what comes from that. It's kind of success in that. But here's the tension in this. Sometimes we mislabel fruit. Now, what do I mean by that? Like, I'm not talking about how we like call an apple an orange literally. That's not what this is. But very often we will misdefine success. Misdefine what really is the fruit that we should be looking for. And where we see this more than any place else is really in our relationship with God. Because very simply put, fruit in the kingdom of God is very, very different than fruit in the kingdom of earth. They are very different things. Success in the kingdom of God, very different than success here in the kingdom of earth. And to Jesus, like, fruit in the kingdom of God seems to be very, very important. And in fact, let me show you again what we just read together, and let's look at some of the harsh words and harsh language that Jesus uses when he's talking about Christians and their fruit and the fruit that they produce, okay? Let's read this again. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and put in our campfires. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want. It will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to God, my Father. Okay, let's talk through this kind of word by line here. I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus starts by comparing the Christian life to some sort of a plant type of idea. His illustration literally is of a grapevine here, where you have a vine and branches that come out of that, and then grapes grow off of the branches. For some of us, you've never really experienced a grapevine. So you can just picture like a tree, and you have a trunk of a tree, and you have the branches that stick out from it, like an apple tree. Jesus is this, is the trunk. We, in a way, as Christians, are connected to that, come out, and the fruit comes from us and our lives. That's kind of the idea here. If we remain in him, if we stay connected to him, we will produce much fruit. Now, this is fruit of the kingdom of God, let's remember, not kingdom of earth. But anyone who does not remain in him is a useless branch that will wither and die. I mean, this makes sense. If you take an apple tree and you break off one of the branches and throw it over here, that branch is not going to survive. Don't matter if it has an apple on it or not. It's going to die. It's going to wither. It's going to be in the fire is what, okay? We get that. Now I want to point something out here before we move on. If we were to ask the question, just kind of universally, as Christians, how do we produce fruit? I think that the things that I would begin to hear would be like by doing certain things. By me doing this, it produces Christian fruit. By me talking to this person or going to church or reading my Bible, fruit is produced by those things. But look at the way that Jesus talks about this. And you might be thinking I'm nitpicking here, but I think this matters. Fruit isn't produced by us doing things. Fruit is produced by us remaining in him, by us remaining connected to the main piece to this, that is Jesus, okay? And the reason I bring this up is like I think so many Christians, so many people in our churches all over the place right now think that being a Christian is all about doing things for God. And a judge of whether or not we are a Christian is how many things are we doing for God. Understand, as strange as this may sound, Christianity is not about doing things for God. It's not. Now, some of you are like, what are you talking about? Why am I here then? I'm going home. Okay? Rather, understand this is, okay? Doing things for God overflows from a heart that is connected to Jesus. There's a difference here. One is I'm doing things for God thinking that that is going to connect me to Jesus. Another, doing things for God comes out of being connected. Some of you are like, what are you talking about here, okay? A life that is connected to Jesus, or as Jesus said, a life that remains in Jesus will produce fruit. It's out of this remaining in Jesus that this fruit grows, and the kingdom of God begins to work out of us, through us, into the kingdom of earth. In fact, that's why Jesus makes this next statement. If you remain in me, or if we stay connected to Jesus, we can ask for anything we want and it will be granted. Now, there are verses all over the Bible that say something very similar to this. As Christians, we can ask for anything we want and it will be granted. If you take that at surface value, just right there, it's like, sweet. God, Lamborghini, let's make this happen. But why isn't God answering my prayer? It says he should, right? Okay, so what is the deal here? What is going on? Jesus is saying something here that clearly isn't in the way we hear it. Would you agree? He's not saying you can ask for anything that you want and you will get it. He's saying you can ask for anything you want and you will get it. Do you understand? You're not supposed to. That was funny, okay? Listen, so let me kind of explain this, okay? This is, as I remain in Jesus, as I stay rooted and connected to him, my desires, my will begins to align itself with the very will of God. And as my life and as my desires begin to align themselves with the will of God, my requests to God will now be in the will of God, which results in God answering my prayers because my prayers are actually in His will. Well, that was crazy. All right, I don't know if I can say that again. I hope you got that. All right? So Jesus says, man, when you stay connected to me, the fruit begins to flow, the fruit begins to grow as your will now begins to become aligned, because in the kingdom of the earth, your will is very different than God's will. Your choices and what you naturally are going to choose in life, very different than the kingdom of God. That's why the kingdom of earth is so junked up right now. And the kingdom of God needs to come through you and I here, which is the will of God playing out here through you and me, okay? That's good right there. All right? You don't work your way into becoming a disciple, because Jesus here he then says, when you produce much fruit, you are my disciples, okay? The idea is, it's not the producing of fruit here that makes you a disciple. The idea is, disciples will produce fruit. You don't work your way into becoming a disciple or into becoming a Christian. The result of being a disciple, the result of being a Christian, is that you will do things for God. All right. Fruit, very important to Jesus. But the fruit that Jesus is talking about, very different than the fruit here on the kingdom of earth. And there's nowhere that says this more clearly than in this lengthy sermon that Jesus gave at one point called the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, Mount is actually shorter for mountain, but all the cool kids back then said Mount, I guess. So that's what it showed. I thought that was funny. You weren't listening. All right. Sermon on the Mount. At one point, Jesus is sitting on the side of this large hill. Thousands of people, a crowd of thousands of people gathered below him. No microphones. I don't know how this worked or how this looked. But Jesus begins to teach. And he teaches on the kingdom of God in a massive amount, a number of ways. And this sermon, we have it like written down in our Bible, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's amazing, okay? Much of this sermon of Jesus contrasts the kingdom of earth between the kingdom of God. I want to show you some of this here today. In fact, listen to how Jesus starts this sermon. 10 or 12 verses here called the Beatitudes. It's like the blessed are these type of people. Let's look at this really quick. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So, like, wait a minute, God blesses the poor. We would view having money as fruit, wouldn't we? Okay, verse 4. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like, come on, God blesses those who mourn. Fruit for us is being happy. Verse 5, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Like, humble, we talk about that a lot around here, so that's probably not surprising. But if you think about it in the context of, like, your career, we think, naturally as humans in the kingdom of earth, we would think, like, I need to highlight myself. I need to promote, like, be aggressive in self-promotion so that I can get ahead in my career. Very different. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Justice and mercy. But these are things like they're more other people focused. I want the fruit of my labor. This is about me, the way we think in the kingdom of earth. Verse 8, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Like, peaceful right now, probably not the word I would use to describe the kingdom of earth, right? Like, or America, politics, all of the mess that we have right now. Peaceful is not the word. Verse 10, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of God. Persecuted does not make my personal list on the fruit of my labor. Anyone else? Okay, come on. Jesus starts off this sermon by, like, highlighting the fact that the kingdom of God is completely upside down from the kingdom of earth. It's completely backwards. One pastor was like, I did a whole message series. He titled it, Blessed Are the Losers. Like, I mean, this is, in a way, it's like, this is so different from the way that we think. Success, fruit in the kingdom of God is not success, fruit in the kingdom of earth, and vice versa. That's how Jesus starts. After this introduction, he goes into these very specific examples about this. We're going to look at about five or six of them quickly, okay? Let me show you. Matthew 5, 22. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, even if you are angry with someone, you are subject. Okay? Kingdom of earth, it's not okay to murder. Kingdom of God, it's not okay to be angry. Verse 27, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who has even looked at a woman with lust has already committed adultery. Kingdom of earth, adultery, not okay. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, lust in your heart, it's the same thing. Verse 31, you have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say a man who divorces his wife unless she's been unfaithful causes her to commit adultery. Kingdom of earth, divorce, completely acceptable. Kingdom of God, divorce, not okay. Okay, Matthew 5, 38, you have heard the law that says punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, don't resist an evil. If someone slaps you in the right cheek, offer the other. Kingdom of earth, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Hit them back. Kingdom of God, turn the other cheek. Verse 43, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Kingdom of God, love the people that love you. Or kingdom of earth, love the people that love you. Kingdom of God, love the people that hate you. Matthew chapter 6. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Kingdom of earth, promote yourself. Kingdom of God, humble yourself. Become the servant of all. One more. All right? Don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, thieves cannot break. Kingdom of earth, store up treasures for yourself. Kingdom of God, store up treasures for the glory of God. Okay, put this slide up here for me. I want to talk through this truth really quick, okay? I just put those in here. This is all in the same speech. Boom, 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 boom. Jesus starts off with, blessed are the losers and the poor and all that type of stuff. And then he goes into this massive thing comparing, okay? Don't murder. Don't be angry. Don't commit adultery. Don't look at somebody even with lust. Divorce acceptable. Divorce not okay. Kingdom of earth, hit them back. Kingdom of God, turn the other cheek. Kingdom of earth, love those who love you. Kingdom of God, love those who hate you. Kingdom of earth, push yourself to the top. Kingdom of God, humble yourself to the bottom. Okay, kingdom of earth, your money is for your happiness and your family. Kingdom of God, your money is for God's glory. And listen to me for a moment. Don't miss this. It's moments in just like this right here when Satan will begin to fill your mind with the failures and the regrets of your past and the places and the situations where you'd have not lived up to this. See, you see that? Divorce is on that screen. You're divorced, you know. God thinks less of you for that. Pastor Kyle probably thinks less of you for that too. Okay, seriously, you see that? Adultery's up there. You remember what you did. You remember the pain that it caused you and your family. You know, you never really told anybody, if only they, like, listen to me for a moment. Don't for an instance allow that junk to root in your mind. We all have a past. We all have failed at this stuff and so much more. Like, the Bible flat out says there is no one righteous. Not even one. We are all failures. We all have regret. We all have egos. We have all wanted revenge. We've all lived self-centered lives. See, understand, you, like, we have an enemy. Satan is real, and his battlefield is your mind. He'll hijack this moment from you if you allow him. There's nothing God wants more than for you to walk out of the destruction of the kingdom of earth and into the love and the transformation of Jesus. Understand. Music team, will you please come? Later on in this sermon of Jesus, he makes a statement that, like, should stop us in our tracks, Many of us know this statement. You've heard this before. I want to read this first in like the most common English translation, but then in a second in a slight variation. Okay, listen to what this says. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Jesus has just finished telling them, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God. All that stuff will be added to you. But now check out this, like, this slightly different English translation in a Bible that's known as the Bible for Everyone. Okay? This stopped me in my tracks this week. It says, make your top priority God's kingdom and his way of life, and all these things will be given to you as well. Make the kingdom of God your top priority. Like this week, I've just been overwhelmed by this question, is God's kingdom my top priority? And the second part of this as well, and his way of life, like is God's way of life my top priority? Or let's just combine the two into one question here that you could take a picture of, that like think about this. Is God's kingdom and God's way of life my top priority? My top priority. And don't ask this question with a tone of failure. None of us have exclusively lived this way. Ask this question with like a tone of determination and motivation. A question that can move us all to take a step in this direction, to take a step closer and closer to that. Will you please stand with me all over this place? I believe that God is speaking different things to different people, depending on where you're at, depending on what's going on in your life. I mean, all sorts of different things. I just want to, I guess, challenge you today to respond to what God is moving in you about. That can be all sorts of different areas. I'm not even going to give a list. But let's be people that learn to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why we sang this song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. The Holy Spirit is God who lives in you to speak to you, to help you, to move you in different ways. And today I feel like is an important moment for some of us as we understand some things in a different way, and light bulb stuff goes on between work for God and living for God and whatever else, and okay, whatever it looks like for you, I just want you to respond to that as we leave. Before we go, I do want to just give an opportunity for those who maybe who have never responded to the message of Jesus before. With no one looking around in this place, maybe you're here and you would just say, today is my day. I need to give my life. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. See, the Bible says we are all sinners and our sin separates us from a perfect and a holy God. It's why he sent Jesus to reconcile us to God, that to him. That's why Jesus came. Forgiveness of sins, all that type of stuff. Okay, there's this amazing grace and perfect love in a God that sent his son. But the scripture says you must put your trust in him. You must submit to him, surrender to him. And maybe you're here today and you would just say, I've never done that and I need to do that today. If that's you, will you just show me your hand? I just want to pray for you. If you are online right now watching and that's you, you can click a button that says respond or raise hand or whatever it says. We would love to pray with you as well. Anyone in this place that would just say, that is me. That's me today. Here's how I want us to just end. I want us to say a prayer together for those that are making that choice today. Everyone in this place, pray this with me. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Come on, can we put our hands together? If you made that decision today, beginning of, okay, something special for you, best decision you could ever make. Let me pray for you as we're done. God, as we walk out these doors today, Lord, let us be more aware of your very presence. Let us be more aware of your Holy Spirit than we ever have been before. God, let us walk with you, telling people your story, showing people your love, bringing the kingdom of God here to the messed up kingdom of earth. God, we want that. That's what we're about, God. Help us do that. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen.